It is good to see everyone still here. This morning, we're going to talk about what it means to take inventory. As the last Sunday in 2013, I left everything kind of plain. I was thinking about, for the background, all that, I might do, fireworks because the new year's coming and all that. But I thought, I don't want anything to distract us away from what God wants to speak to your heart this morning. I don't want any flashy graphics back there. It's just plain. It's simple. The words speak for themselves. This morning, it's about taking inventory. It's about 2013 in review, about kind of taking a look back from where we've been this year. What has this year been like for you? Because the simple fact of the matter is that every day we get closer to heaven. You know, this day today is not any different than last Sunday. It's not any different than next Sunday, because every single day that we live, we get closer to heaven. I mean, think about that. You know, we're closer to Jesus coming again today than we were yesterday. And we're closer right now than we were when we started. We're closer every single day. Everybody talks about, we're living in the last times. Well, yeah, we are. I mean, every day is closer to the last one, whether he comes back or whether we individually just trickle off and go meet him, whatever. It's closer today. So what that should tell you, you're like, this is a great sermon. It's a downer. No, we're headed somewhere. That's what I want you to know. All of this is headed somewhere. That what we are experiencing right now, all of the aches and my back hurts. I'm sitting back there, Hyatt's doing the soundboard and running the slides. And he looks and goes, man, my back hurts. Like, you're 13. You're not allowed to have anything hurt. Unless you just fell off a bike, I don't want to hear it. But we do. We have aches and we got pains and we got this. I mean, his are growing pains. Any minute, he's just going to be, 6 feet tall. Maybe by the end of the day, we don't know. He eats like a horse right now. 9 tacos in a row. What he's doing with them. But we have these aches and these pains and, these fears, and we got to save up for this and we're worrying about that. The reality is that what we are going through isn't what we're headed for. Now, whatever you believe about heaven, and you say, well, Shane, the Bible specifically, well, the Bible talks about heaven, but you can, I think I have a different understanding of heaven than I did earlier in my ministry. The more that I read about it, I used to think heaven was strictly going somewhere else. But the more and more that I read about it, and the more that I come to understand God, I'm not so sure that it's all about going somewhere else as it is about God coming and reestablishing his kingdom here. The more I study about it, the more earthy heaven seems to be, the more dirt under your fingernails kind of working in God's perfect kingdom that he establishes here, because the new Jerusalem's coming down. I don't know for sure. I don't know. I don't know if the city is somewhere else or if it's actually here and he makes it all perfect. But I know that either way, we're headed somewhere. If heaven is a whole nother place, or if God comes back, whatever it looks like, it's headed for something, and it's not going to be like this. It's not going to be aches and pains. There's not going to be fears and doubts. There's not going to be any space between us and God. We're headed to a total relationship, an unrestrained relationship. It took me, as I've been planning this sermon for about, working on it for about a month, it took me until this week to come up with that word, unrestrained. I want you to write that down, unrestrained relationship with God. As I've thought about what our relationship, right now there's something in between it. Not our sin, that's been dealt with on the cross, amen? Our sin is gone, but there's something between us and God, and he just restrains his presence because in our current form we can't handle it, but there's coming a day when the presence of God will be restrained no longer. It'll be unfiltered presence of God, perfect relationship. So every day we're getting closer. Every day we're headed somewhere. And so on this day, as we think about the last Sunday of the year, as we think about what's next year going to be, you know, what are we planning? What are our goals? You know, all of those things. I want us to think about we are headed in a direction, in a Godward direction. So as we continue to take inventory, as we look at 2013 in review, when you think about 2013, what do you think about? What comes to mind as you review the last year that you've just spent? And the thing about it, the older I get, the less, you know, the shorter years seem to be, and the less impressive that a whole year has passed. I mean, because think about it, in you know, a few short months, it'll be spring, and we'll be a third of the way through another year. See, when you're a kid, you think, oh, an entire year. As you get older, you're like, I only did that for 1 year. So not that big. But as we think about, as we take that block of time and we think about it, what do you think about? And as I say about a lot of things, and those of you who regularly listen to me preach understand that what we think about, it matters, because it says so much about us. When you think about 2013, do you think about what a banner year it was in business? Do you think about all of the sicknesses that you came? Because all of that matters. If you think, oh, it was a great year for business, then that says a lot about you. If you think, oh, it was not such a good year for my health, well, that says a lot about what's important. What we think about. The Bible is very specific in saying that what we think about. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, well, actually it starts in about verse 11. He says that everything that we do, you know, those of us who are kingdom citizens, that our desires, our wants, our wishes, our actions, they're given to us by God. It says that God wills for us to act and to do according to His good pleasure. And so therefore, that we should, anything that is good or true or admirable or praiseworthy or just, think about those things. So when you think about 2013, what do you think about? Are they true and noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable things? Yeah, Shane, but man, it was a hard year. You don't know what happened to me in 2013. You don't know this happened, this was bad and all that. Well, James chapter 1 tells us that no matter what our circumstances is that are, consider it almost, Tommy would not be proud of that sentence. No matter what our circumstances happen to be, be glad, but consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work. No matter what. It says, Thessalonians tells us to be thankful in all things and for in any circumstance. So even the trials, it says so much about us. Do we take even the perceivable bad things and think of them as a way that we got closer to God? Every doctor's appointment, every ache, every pain, does it remind us that we are headed somewhere and it won't be like this? Every time that we experience something that was unpleasant, do we think, well, this is just another opportunity for me to get closer to God, to depend on Him more? Or was it something that fed our doubts and our fears? See, this morning, as most sermons, I want them to be about us getting better, not staying where we are, but getting better. So when you think about it, what do you think? Because that's an indicator of who you are. When you think back on 2013 and the events that stand out, are those the events that you want to stand out? For me, some of them aren't, and I have to remind myself to then don't dwell on that. Don't think about those things. Think on, as Colossians chapter 3 says, you know, think on things that are of God, not on things of the earth. So what do you think about? It defines you. It defines you. What do you choose to dwell on? I took away the scripture reading, because I've got a lot of different scriptures that I've been back and forth, and I wanted us to look at Joshua 20. If you've got your Bibles, look at Joshua 24. This is, if this sounds familiar, it ought to. Because Joshua 24, 14 through 15, this is the exact same scripture that I used on January the 6th of this year as my New Year's sermon. So it should sound familiar because we just talked about this a year ago. It says, fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Other translation says, serve Him with your whole heart. Serve Him wholeheartedly. The Chronicles tells us that the eye of the Lord is searching for His people whose hearts are fully devoted to Him. As we think back, as we take inventory, what was our hearts fully devoted to? Because we can think all we want going forward, but it's only until we really take inventory of how did we spend the last 365 days, the last 51 weeks of worship opportunities, how did we spend those? Because if we never think about, did I serve God faithful with all of my faithfulness? Did I serve Him with my whole heart? Was my heart fragmented over the last year? Then we'll never know what to change going forward. Because it's one thing to say, man, I'm going to do better. I'm going to be better, man. I'm going to be more committed to God. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But if we never realize, what do I specifically need to change? It'll be 2014. We'll be looking ahead to 2015 and we'll be the same people. Maybe dressed a little differently. Maybe maybe the fashion will be different. Maybe the faces, but we'll be the same. So think about this as we go through taking inventory of 2013. What's in the rearview mirror? What is it? If you look back, was it something that you'd just rather forget? Was it stormy? Were there dark clouds following you? What were the circumstances? Whoa, that's not good, is it? That's not what we want to see. Was trouble chasing you? Maybe it was demented snowmen in the rearview mirror. Something that seemed innocent at the time, but the more that you think back, it was really quite evil. Or maybe it was something that you wouldn't mind going back to, experiencing again. What does 2013 look like? What was accomplished last year? What goals did you reach? We set goals as a congregation. I urged us to set goals individually. Did you set goals? Now, the crazy thing about that is that if you've ever been in business or of any kind of secular job, there's always goals. There's sales goals. There's production goals. There's all kinds of goals. But when we think about the 52 weeks a year that we get together, do we have any goals here? What did you accomplish? Was it largely kingdom accomplishments? When you think back on 2013, are there discipleship opportunities that come to mind? And you think of people that your life touched, and that those who are going with us to whatever it is that God has planned, whether it's somewhere else or He's coming here, is someone going to experience the unrestrained presence of God because of your influence in 2013 or not? Were the kingdom goals, or were all of your goals just earthly? Well, yeah, Shane, but they were big goals. I mean, they were big earthly goals. They're just earthly goals. They're just goals that will not last. It doesn't matter how many of this we made, or how many of those we sold, or how much of this we saved, or how much of these we built, or any of the, you know, none of that matters. It matters if we expanded the only thing that will last forever that we experience on this earth, and that is the kingdom of heaven. What kind of goals did you set and did you reach in 2013? A question, where are you spiritually now? as opposed to just 51 short weeks ago? Where are you spiritually? And by spiritually, I mean not necessarily how many Bible verses you can quote now as opposed to a year ago, but how much closer to God are you now than you were then? Because remember, we're getting closer to His unrestrained presence. Or we're getting closer to His unrestrained absence. And the choices that we make here will reflect the choices that we have wherever there is. Whether there is here or there is somewhere celestial. Whatever heaven looks like, wherever God is, if we chose to spend 2013 with Him, then that's an indicator that we will have the opportunity to spend eternity with Him. And if we didn't, then He'll also honor that choice too. Because see, as we think about that we're going somewhere, it's not about making it to heaven. It's about, do we choose to be with God now? Because He's not going to make us be with Him later. See, God, the reality of God is that He isn't He doesn't force His will upon us now. And He won't force His will upon us in eternity. So it's not about doing good enough to store up and hopefully make it. It's about choosing Him now. Choosing a relationship with the God of all creation. About choosing a relationship with the King of Kings, with the Lord of heaven and earth. Because if we choose that relationship now and we seek Him more and more and more, then that's going to be rewarded by His unrestrained presence. Because one day the one thing that we long for we'll get. I want more of you, I want more of you, I want more of you. I'm seeking you more and more and more. Well, guess what? One day, that's why death to kingdom citizens here on earth is so, is what Paul said, that for me to live as Christ, to die is gain. Because I want more of God, and that's the only way I can get His unrestrained presence. Or if we choose not, then He'll honor that request. With a broken heart, He'll honor that. So what was accomplished? Where are you spiritually? Are we getting closer to God? This morning, I want to talk about, in the last few moments, what it looks like. How we can think back on 2013 and see where we have come and hopefully looking forward be better. This is a kind of a killing two birds with one stone sort of sermon. We're closing out one year and we're starting another one. See, next year or next week isn't going to be okay, what are we going to do in 20? No, next week's going to be hitting the ground running. We're going to cover it all this week, looking back, looking forward, and next week, the very first Sunday of 2014, we are going to hit the ground listening to God. That's what next week's going to be about, hearing God. I'll tell you this, that one line that I can't wait to give you next week, and I'm going to give it to you, and you're going to hear it again next week, is that people who talk to God, they're called prayers. People who pray. People who hear from God. They're called weirdos. We're going to be people who hear the voice of God in 2014. We have to be. That is central to His uniqueness, is that He speaks back. So next week, that's where we're hitting the ground, because that leads to everything, all of the goals, all of the steps, everything that we're trying to accomplish has got to be hearing, starts with hearing from God, listening to God. So as we move forward, if we want 2014 to be better, if we want to go from where we are spiritually to where God wants us to be, if we want to accomplish, actually set and accomplish kingdom goals, not just earthly, temporary, in the long run of eternity, worthless goals. Then how do we do that? I'm going to give you quickly 9 things. They're not on here, so find somewhere to write them. And they're going to be actually in the article for next week as well. So we're going to expand on that. So come back next week. I'm trying to bait you into coming back. See, next week starts a fresh 52. How many of them will you be here? There's a goal. I'm going to be here 50% of the time. That's 26 Sundays. I'm going to be here 75. I'm going to be here 52 of them. But as we go forward, the first thing I want us to think about: set priorities. If we want 2014 to be better, then we have to prioritize. We have to, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. You see, that's a passage all about priorities. And thinking about it, as you look back, what were priorities in 2013 and what are going to be priorities in 2014? What are our priorities? Are our priorities business, entertainment, pleasure? Here's one I get a lot: family. We're spending family time. First and foremost, God, Jesus says, unless you're willing to put me above everything, even your family. You know what is great family time? Right now. We'll go watch a movie. Family, and that's family time, but church. Being encouraged in the Lord, learning, sharing. You know what else is great? Family time, ministry. You know, when we hand out baskets or whatever, that's great family time. What's our priority? Also, set a timer as long as it is today. Give yourself a time limit to get this done. Whatever the priority is, whatever the goal, I'm going to accomplish. It's not just some big lofty thing that, well, I'm going to get this done. When are you going to get it done? How long are you giving yourself to get this done? Set a timer. Give yourself some constraints. From here to here, that's when I'm doing that. Take time to regroup. Jesus says that come unto me and I'll give you rest. You know, there's one thing, there's a time every day that I love. And it's first thing in the morning when Vic and I get up and we don't wake the kids up and we just sit there and drink coffee before they ruin our day. In their own special ways. We just sit there. And we have the news on, and it's usually muted because we're talking about stuff. We're just, and that's just time. And it's not anything important. It's not, it's just 15 minutes of drinking coffee and talking and just regrouping before the day starts. Take time. It's okay to rest. To regroup, whether you spend that time in the morning or at night, whatever it is, regroup. Because the reality is that we need that. Set weekly goals. Don't, like I said, you know, when you give yourself a time to do this, set weekly goals. What am I going to accomplish for the Lord this week? You know, it's one thing to say, I want the year to be whatever. But break it up into 52 manageable pieces. Set weekly spiritual goals. Write stuff down over and over and over in Scripture. God said, write this down. Write it on your doorpost. Write it on the, put it on your foreheads. Write it down. He says in Malachi one time, he says, write these laws down and write them down so big that if someone's running really fast, they'll be able to read it. Write it down. Write down what it is that you're going to accomplish. Keep it ever before you. Involve other people in this thing. Whatever your goals are, whatever your priorities in the coming year, in the week, let other people know. It's important to be accountable, not only to involve other people in your ministry, but to be accountable to those people. If I keep what I'm trying to accomplish a secret, then nobody knows if I accomplish it or not. You see, we're part of something bigger than ourselves. We're part of a family. We're part of a church. See, one of the reasons that I believe a lot of times, and I'll just, you know, get right in the kitchen and start mixing it up. One of the reasons I think that we don't want to be here a lot is because the closer we get to one another, the easier it is to hold us accountable. To say, hey, where were you on this? You know, it's one of those things we don't like to be accountable. We'll keep goals a secret. We'll keep, you know, that's why we keep our contribution. Well, you don't ask people their contribution. Well, why not? Why can't we hold one another accountable for one of the most spiritual experiences that we have? You see, there's one thing that God calls a trap. Paul tells Timothy that greed is one of the most dangerous diseases that this human experience has. One thing that will separate us from God here and eternally is the love of money, the love of mammon, the love of this stuff. Why won't we allow one another to hold us accountable for that? Involve other people. Let them know, this is what I want to accomplish. This is what I want to get done. I want to be a part of this week. Maybe I need your help. I'm going to tell you so you can say, you know, I don't know how to do that, but I know somebody that does. Let me pair you up. Or, hey, I've always wanted to be a part of something like that. Can I help you? Let other people know. One personal thing, wake up early or stay up late. One of the two. Now, this is, when I wrote this down, it was wake up early, because that's always the one, oh, you got to get up early. But then I thought, you know what? Jamie never likes to get up early. Jamie's a stay up late kind of gal, not so much the get up early type. You know what? I'm not a get up early guy either. But I do stay up late. You know, there's those times when we read about Jesus and it says very early in the morning. You know, there's two kinds of times I experienced in college, very early in the morning, but sometimes started very late at night. You know, the very late at night becomes very early in the morning. But very early in the morning, it said, the Bible says that Jesus got up, he went to a solitary place where he prayed. There's some times when we need to make sure that there's no one else around. And the best way to do that I found is to set aside some special time, whether in the morning or late at night. Wait till everybody's in bed, the lights are down, you know, it's quiet. Get up before the day gets started and spend time with God, thinking about those priorities, thinking about that time limit, thinking about those weekly goals. Maybe that's the time you write stuff down. Avoid distractions. I'll just be honest with you. One of the things that I find myself doing that is useless for the most part and just a big time drainer, that's watching television. You know, I always think I want to be one of those people that, you know, when someone says, hey, have you seen so-and-so show? I want to be the guy that says, oh, I've never even heard of that show. I don't watch TV that much. What's television? I don't even, what is that? But I'm usually the guy, oh, yeah, I saw that. Oh, I taped that. I watched the whole thing twice. That's one of my goals is to limit that. That's a huge distraction. You know, I don't have my phone with me because I make a policy not to bring it to the pulpit, because I know some of you guys will call me up here. Mark, where are you? Denny. That's the one thing, you know, oh, excuse me. But, you know, that phone, man, just... And don't give this generation a hard time. It's, oh, we're so distracted. Look at, you know, they're just walking around with their phones all the time. I saw a picture of like the 1930s and it was a railroad car, train car. And all of the men were sitting in there and you know what? They had newspapers all up, just reading the newspaper. Man, we've been distracted. We've been, you know, emotionally unavailable for years, for generations. Now it's just electronic. That's not new. We've been escaping one another's presence for generations. But limit the distractions. Find out, what is it that I do that if I don't do it, I'll actually be a better person? For me, it's watching TV. I can sit and watch some shows about gold or Alaska or whatever. Gold in Alaska. Oh, I can just watch them. And Hyatt likes them too, so I kid myself and say, oh, it's father-son time. You know what's father-son time? Right here. Hey, son, what do you think God means when he's talking about this right here? Oh, and there'll be some pushback. Oh, come on, Dad. Oh, there'll be some pushback. You know what's family time? Sitting and praying together. Just talking together. Avoid distractions. And the last thing, give yourself a break. I know you said, well, you already said to take some time to regroup. I know, but see, we're hard on ourselves. And we'll read something and somebody sounds like they've got life all together and we'll think, oh, we're terrible and I'm just worthless and da, da, da. Just give yourself a break. We're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect. But you know what the word, my word for 2014, I'll already go ahead and tell you, my word for 2014 is better. Just better. Doesn't have to be perfect. I just want to get better. Every day I want it to be better. Better than the last day. Better than a week ago. And if I don't get it all right, I'm not going to beat myself up and think, oh, well, I'm not going to make it to heaven. No, I'm choosing the presence of God now. So I know that I will have that choice later. I want to know God. I know that He wants to know me. So there's coming a day when He will take away the veil. He will take away the restraint. And I will have unrestrained presence of God. And that's what I want. But I know I'm not getting it all right here. But I want to get better. I want to leave you with this. Life is short. It really is. Even if you're 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years old this morning, it's gone by like that, hasn't it? Amen. Seemed like just yesterday, you're trying to put somebody on the moon. It's like that. Life's short. Moments are precious. They really are. We'll never get back. You know, the song that we sang this morning, just put goosebumps on, is Lamb of God. Love that song. I can listen to this church sing that song every day. I want to make a CD of that, a recording, and just play it in my truck. I have to play it loud because my truck rattles a lot. But we'll never get that moment back. I hope when we were singing that song that you just sat there. And just let the words and the moment wash over you. Because it's gone. Now we can try to duplicate it. And we'll sing that song again. But moments are precious. Don't waste time on things that don't matter. Whatever that means. Whatever that looks like. Hayden's going to come sing a song. He's going to lead us in a song. We're going to sing together. Dwell on 2013 today. Let today be a day where you just look in that rearview mirror. Learn some stuff about who you are, about where you've been, and let it inspire you to where you want to go, to where you know God wants you to go. Choose today who you will serve. Is it the God of this world? Which is the King of Kings. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Would you stand with me as we sing?